Have you ever wondered why God wants His children to praise Him? To give Him thanks? Does God really need our praise? Is God some kind of divine narcissist? These are questions people ask. And in today's message, we're going to look a bit further into Psalm 67. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go ahead and open it up to Psalm 67. We're going to look into these questions and other related questions from the Bible as well and different texts to help answer them. And the answers might surprise you a little bit. Psalm 67, we're going to read the whole thing together here, whether we get through it all or not, but we're going to read it at least today. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Five times in that short psalm, the psalmist uses the word let. Let. Now, it's in a particular form which comes across as a command, not a request. So five times we have it, and it's also a causative verb, meaning that the praise has a context. The cause for the praise is God Himself. That's the reason we do praise. So God's people are to reflect and whatever is good in their life back to God. Are you in good health today? Some would say, not really. Are you alive today? Some might say, not really. Praise the Lord. Do you have blessings in your life? Praise the Lord. Do you have friends? Praise the Lord. Some might say, I don't. I'll be your friend, so now you can praise the Lord. Whatever you have, do you have wealth? Do you have a great retirement? Do you have a great job? Do you have a job? Do you have a car? Are you able to get up? Can you walk? Praise the Lord. You see, the things that we have come from the Lord, the blessings of God. And even the things that we struggle with, God allows in our lives for different reasons. And that is also part of praising the Lord. We just need not to forget, it's God is the one who blesses us. So we call this kind of responsive praise giving glory to God. And I kind of want to camp on this for a little bit, all right? In fact, most of the message is about this idea of praise is really the idea of giving glory to God, and they are connected together throughout the Bible. So the psalmist kind of gives us part of our answer. God wants His children to praise Him. Why does He want us to praise Him? He wants us to praise Him because praising God glorifies God. Now, when I was a kid growing up, that was kind of a big term out there, that like in the nebula. Glorifying God. That sounds intimidating, doesn't it? People might have different ideas of what that exactly means. And someone might even ask the question, what's the big deal about glorifying God? I'm glad you asked. If you have your Bibles, so keep your finger in Psalm 67, turn to Isaiah 43. We're going to see Isaiah the prophet give us the answer to that. We're going to read several verses here. Isaiah chapter 43 helps us with this as to why it's a big deal. Glorifying God. I'm going to read just the first seven verses. But now, says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored
I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Now listen to verse 7. And everyone who is called by my name, who I created, and what's the next three words? For my glory, when I formed and made you. Wow. The glory of God, giving glory to God, is the purpose of God for man. What does it mean? I kind of getting an understanding here, glorifying God. I mean, the word glory. Well, to give glory in the scripture means to give honor. It means to put something in a high place, to highly esteem something of value as being valuable. And if you won't mind here for a few minutes, I'd like to kind of walk through that by illustration. But I'm going to need two volunteers to help me. All right, come on up here. There's one. You want anybody else here? You want to come on up? You're a brave soul. Come on up here. So, we just want to kind of, I want to walk through things that might be valuable to you. So don't worry about it. It's not, you can't really have a wrong answer, but your parents will let you know later. So, have you ever gotten out of the car and started walking into a store, any store, doesn't matter, and you look down on the parking lot and you see something on the ground, you know, change, and hopefully I brought it, and of course I didn't. So if you see on the ground a penny, is that something you'd bend over and pick up, or would you keep walking? How about you? You'd pick it up. Why would you pick it up? It's free. Okay. All right. How about you? What if you saw it afar off, but you were on your way into the store? Would you go out of your way to go over there and pick it up? What if it was raining outside? You wouldn't do it? Would you? You wouldn't do it. Why? Okay. What's your reason? It's out of the way. What if it was a nickel? Would you do it for a nickel? No, for you? You wouldn't either? Oh, this is too much peer pressure. Don't look at each other. All right. So, okay. How about if it was a dollar bill that was far away, but it was pouring rain or it was freezing snow? Would you walk out of your way to do that or go into the store? You would. I don't know what yes is. Yes, you would get it, or yes, you'd leave it. You'd go get it. Would you leave it or go get it? You'd get it. Okay. So what made the difference between the penny and the dollar? Dollar's worth more. Would you say a dollar's worth more? Okay. So if I were to have a dollar bill on the right here, which I left, but I did remember this, and a $10 bill, which would you rather have? I'll go with you first. You answered already. Go ahead. You like to have that? More than the $1 bill? How about you? Why? All right. So, that's right. So, you're going to have to use your sanctified imagination, okay? So, this is a penny, and it's a 1944 steel wheat penny. All right? I'm going to put it right here. Would you rather have the $10 bill or this penny laying on the ground way over there? It's probably worth more, but you don't know. How about you? What do you think? Well, you're getting way too philosophical with this. If you could see what it is and know what it is, what do you think? What if I offered you right now $100 cash for this wheat penny? Would you take it? You're thinking. You take the $100? How about you? Would you take $100? Think you would? Okay. Okay, so Because why? I'll start with you. Don't look. 100 bucks? Seems what? Like a lot of money? Okay, how about you? Now you can talk. This one talks. All right. It's more. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. And what if I were to offer you $100 or this picture of me and my kids when they were young? Which would you rather have in your desk? Man, that hurts. How about you? You want $100? Isn't Jared and Brooke and Hannah cute? Aren't they cute? You don't have to answer. You guys can sit down. Let's give them a hand. Oh, I actually did have the money in here. Sorry, guys. My goodness. Oh, by the way, here's your reward for being so, yeah, you can have this. Yeah. Is candy valuable to you, or you really? Would you rather have that picture of my dog? Never mind. Well, it's interesting. So we get it, right? To glorify God is to give weight or value to God, not what God does necessarily, although that's valuable. It's for who God is, who he is. And if you read, if you kind of follow with Isaiah 43 especially, you saw a lot of great things about God, didn't you? Oh my goodness, all those characteristics, all those qualities of God, the lovingness, the caring, the protection, the promises, it was all there. And that was something to value. Now, I don't know about you, but I value those kind of relationships in my life. Those are important people. People that can love you and trust you and care for you, that's something that you want to value and develop. So giving glory to God is to value God, his character, his quality, his justice, his mercy, his grace, his sovereignty, and all those things and all the actions that flow from God. It's to value that. That is most important to you. So when the Bible calls people to glorify God, he's calling them to value God. Like David said in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my what? My soul longeth after thee. Not the things you give me, which are awesome, by the way, and we're grateful for those, but for God himself. This comes into play big time when we consider the meta-narrative of the Bible, the big story, because back in Genesis, that kind of relationship was there at the very beginning. There was a relationship that God valued. He loved us. He formed us. He created us. He interacted with us. He gave us everything we needed. And to a degree, we valued God. But then we saw something that we wanted to value more, and that's when we got into trouble. That was the moment that we could say, along with Romans 3:23, all have sinned and had fallen short of what? The glory. The glory. We replace, we exchange. We say, you know what, God, I got something. You're okay, and I appreciate you, but there's something that's more valuable in my life than you. You can fill in the blank. Some people put a pursuit of their career above family. Some people put family above God, and some people put themselves above everything, including God. I mean, I don't know what it is in your life, and maybe you're not there. I know for me, sometimes I struggle with replacing God with other things as being more valuable. But the Bible calls us to, as a people, and praise, offering praise is a way of glorifying God. And as we grow up in our understanding the things that God values, we're going to value those things too and hold on to them. I'm so glad that you fell into the trap of the wheat penny. It's not it, by the way. Wow. Because this is a really good illustration. And we're all there. I mean, how do I know what it's worth? I looked it up.
So, you know, I offered him $100. I was willing to go up, by the way, to $1,000, even $10,000 cash on the spot for the penny, okay? What makes that a bad deal? Anybody know? Yes. By my recollections online, did you just look that up on your phone, or are you guessing? Your dad did? He looked on the wrong website. The pastor's using his phone in church? All right. I got online to three different sites and saw that it was worth $478,000. But they didn't know that. Translate that now to God. How many people replace God, value God, honor and give weight to other things because they do not realize the value and weight of God Himself? Having God as your Savior, having God as the one who can guide you, and the God with all His promises and all those things. And by valuing God, you've got something worth more than a wheat penny. But people, if they're limited in their understanding and knowledge of God, they won't value it. That's why it's difficult sometimes when you're talking to a person that hasn't yet come to faith in Christ. They may not know God. Or they may have heard of God, or maybe they've been seen, or maybe they saw some Christians and said, I don't want anything to do with God. For whatever it is, they have different ideas about God, and therefore it's not a big deal. I don't want God. I don't need God. I'm okay the way I am. In fact, God's blessing them despite the fact that they're not honoring Him in many things. They may have good health. They may have a great family and a great job. They don't think they need God. They don't understand that the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ, wants a relationship with them to bring them to a deeper intimacy with Him through faith in Him. A lot of Christians kind of walk through life that way a bit as well. They have trusted Christ. They did come to that place and they recognized their sin before God, and they said, man, I'm in trouble. Lord, I'm coming to You and I'm repenting. I'm trusting that You will forgive me of my sins and trusting Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. And then, as time goes on, they're either not discipled or something gets in the way, and they start valuing other things, and they miss out. They've got something more than a wheat penny, something more valuable, and they replace it with other things. And they're unable to glorify God the way they should. They can't, because they don't understand who God is. Praising God is an opportunity for us to express our thanksgiving to God. Now, this is a big deal. This is a lot to chew on, and we don't have time to work it all out. But you think about that in a church setting or a gathering. Maybe in, when you were growing up, in our family growing up in Thanksgiving, there were several things we did. One, we always played football together, all the cousins. That was a big, huge game. Second, we had a massive meal that could have fed the town. And third was we always gathered around the piano, and played music and sang for an hour, all kinds of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Had a great, great time. Yet how many times do we find ourselves in a situation where we have an opportunity to praise God, to verbally express our thanks to God? Now, it may not be a song we know. By the way, I was back there and I heard the first song. I was like, man, I remember that song. How many of you remember that song? Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. I said, woo, yeah, I can sing that one. I know that one. That's great. And I love the new songs we get as well. They're so awesome because we can learn them and join in with the other ones to praise the Lord. But how many times do we just sort of sit there? Is that giving thanks to God? Is that an expression? There's a scene in the movie Elf. Anyone seen the movie Elf? Okay, yeah, you get it. So, you know, Buddy has fallen in love, right? And so he has this big date, and he goes out and he does all these crazy things. And then I think she gives him a kiss, and that's all it took. So he's on cloud nine. Remember, he runs into his dad's office, which is an important meeting. What does he say? I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. Did I do a good job? That's kind of the idea here. You're overwhelmed with gratitude. Now, no one's asking you to be silly in church, That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about heartfelt praise and appreciation and thanksgiving to God. You're not ashamed to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. And I'm willing to say that in the presence of the company of these people. And I'm willing to live that in the presence and the eyes of other people that may not know you. So praise is our Buddy the Elf moment, where our gratitude for God gets openly expressed. Now, the Bible helps us to understand a little bit more about glorifying God. Ephesians 1:14, Paul makes the connection with the Holy Spirit in that. You and I can't do that on our own. It's something that the Holy Spirit comes when he comes into our life. Now we have the ability to praise God correctly because he teaches us, he guides us into all truth, right? And as he does that, we're able to properly express our praise to the Lord. He even moves in our heart and draws us to himself. So what does that mean practically? Practically then, one of the manifestations of glorifying God, of praising God, is through singing. I'm going to read this to you. This is important. Paul writes this. Ephesians 5:18-20, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he tells us, in everything, give thanks. So one of the greatest ways that you and I can fulfill our purpose that God has for us, one of the greatest ways you and I can glorify God, is to honor God by praising him in all things, verbally and in our life. Now, I'm not saying we have to be glad in our circumstances all the time. Of course not. Though sometimes that might be the case. We have someone go in the wrong direction. We've been praying for years, and it hurts to see them, but sometimes those tough life lessons brings them back to the cross, and they're able to look to God. But we can acknowledge God in his sovereignty, in his greatness, in his goodness, in his promise. Now, we had a fun time with these pictures and with money, and I've got other things in here, but things that may or may not be valuable to you. But what is valuable to you? What would you want to have? Would you like to have that wheat penny? Or would you like to be cured from cancer? Would you like to have that wheat penny? Or would you like to have God doing something amazing in a relationship that's strained in your life? Would you like to have that wheat penny? Or would you like to have God, you know, perform something in you and answer some prayers that you've been praying for a long time? I mean, we sometimes reach for the wrong things. We chase after the wrong things rather than chasing after God. So when we glorify God, this is how we do this. This is how this works with praise. I have a situation where relationship's broken or whatever, and I'm crying out to God. I say, God, I'm coming to you, and I'm thankful so much that you are sovereign, that you're loving, that you have a plan, and I know that you hear me, and I desire to have this relationship right so bad. And I want to do my part and do my side to make that work. But no matter what, Lord, I know that you are going to make all things right in the end. So I want to honor you and I want to glorify you, meaning I value you and I want to reflect the way you think. I want to reflect the way you would act in this situation. I'm going to stop acting the way I am and thinking the way I am. I'm going to give this over to you, Lord, and let you take control. And therefore, I'm going to reflect the love of God and glorify you in this difficult time. God wants us to praise him because it glorifies God. God doesn't need our praise. It's not about him getting a pat on the back. It is about us expressing from our hearts thankfulness for all that he's done for us. This helps the relationship immensely. Think about your own kids. So you got children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We'll stop there. So you have all these things, and you remember with your kids, you send them off to school, right? You want them to do what? What would Andy Griffith say to Opie? Act like somebody, right? Why? This is not just about the education. It's important. It's about behaving properly. It's about you bear their name. And so by behaving and acting properly, you're really giving weight and value to that name and that relationship that you have. So as children of God, we're connected to God through Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit within us. And God is saying to men, you can glorify me simply by responding in obedience and love in life as you walk it day by day. So we have this whole concept of glorifying God, not necessarily for his patting him on the back, but for our good. And how many of you parents get thrilled when your kids finally turn to you that one day and look at you after you've given them a good meal or whatever, and they say to you what? Thank you. Some of you might fall over. But they've just taken a step. Why was that such a big deal? Mom and Dad are going to make the meals anyway because they love you. Mom and Dad are going to help you because they love you. It helps you grow in your relationship with them. It has to do with our intimacy, too. We're thankful to God, and we love God. We want to reflect God, and the way we do that is by knowing God and reflecting who he is. One of the ways God glorifies, though, as we see in this text here in Psalm 67, is when the people come to hear about him. They turn from their sin, and they trust him for salvation. Look at verse 2 in Psalm 67. It says, why do we do this? That your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. Look at verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. So what's going on here? Well, the psalmist is simply praying that the people of God would make so much noise and their praise to God and glorifying God. What does that mean? That means they're going to value the things of God. They're going to value him as in a relationship with him, and they're going to work on that relationship. That's what they value. So that means, yes, I'm going to dig into the Word. I'm going to have my quiet time. I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk. And I'm going to talk with God. I value that relationship. And by valuing that relationship now, I'm going to live that life out amongst the people. I'm going to be making some noise through my holy living. So here we have this psalmist praying for this noise for Israel, that through their words and through their actions, what does it say? That you may be known among the earth. There's two reasons maybe why the community struggles hearing our noise. Number one, we're silent. We're not supposed to be silent. Man, I'll tell you what. Have you ever been in a situation where you got some news that was so good you couldn't just sit there? Now, everybody's a little different. I know we all act the same way. I don't know what that news would be. Maybe this past week we had a lady in church get a great-grandchild. And she was walking around showing that picture, and I don't blame her. She was proud of that. She was excited about that. Maybe for you it was, oh, man, the surgery went well. A couple weeks ago, one of our friends here in the church got some really good news that cancer was kind of in a remission state. I don't know about you, but I'd be dancing and praising for that. Got some even better news. We had an individual come to faith in Jesus Christ in the office this week, and one of the pastors was able to lead him to the Lord. That's a praise. That's a praise. Those things are what you. How about these three individuals that were standing up? That's a praise. So we have these moments in time where it's appropriate to praise the Lord, to give thanks unto him, but we're silent. We're silent. We don't see anything out there. I mean, we're one person here, and I get that, and I understand that, but we walk outside, and it's like, whoosh, now let's all be quiet, and let's keep our praise to ourselves, and we'll praise in the car, we'll beep a horn or something, but that's it. That's one reason. So we're too silent. And God says, you don't have to be silent, man. You can make noise. You can be happy. You can be happy and share those things. Number two, is that we're making the wrong kind of noise. We're noisy, all right, but that noise isn't glorifying God. It doesn't reflect the values of God. It's not reflecting love, joy, peace. Sometimes we speak negatively of each other. Sometimes we speak negatively of other people. Sometimes we really just beat on our government and our president. And I understand that. I really do. But you do that enough times, that's noise, right? That's noise. And people are going to hear that noise, and they're going to say, huh, I thought he was a Christian. Is that what a Christian is all about? Oh, my. But the psalmist says, no, he wants you to make noise. He wants you to make such noise, responding to the blessings of God. May God be gracious to us, bless us. You respond to that by letting the people praise you. And when you do that, the world will know God. It's right there. That the world, that's the purpose, that they may know you and sing for joy. How would you like to have the nations of the world sing to God for joy? That's why we praise. It's a testimony to the goodness and the greatness of God. Yes, God does good things for us, and if we ever, the only thing we ever received, you know this, is our salvation. We got more than we deserved. But that's not what God does, is it? Did you read Isaiah 43? Did you catch all of that? That's a beautiful chapter. Oh, I love you. I've chosen you. I want to be with you. I want to have this growing relationship with you. And the psalmist picks up on that idea. It's through that kind of a relationship that we can reflect the very character and values of God ourselves, and thereby glorifying him. So glorifying is giving weight and value to something so much that you take it and you live it and you follow it. So the question is, are you glorifying? I'm not talking about, do you know about God's character? It's beyond knowledge. It's knowledge, but it's knowledge applied. It's knowledge applied. So here we simply say, giving praise to God glorifies God, and we best glorify God when first we know him. So my first question for all of us today, do you know God? I'm not saying, do you know about God? And if you do know God, what do you know about him? That'd be a good place to start. Growing in your awareness will get you to the wheat penny at least. You'll understand, whoa, there's something valuable here. There's something bigger than anything I've ever met. God has something to offer as the creator of the universe, as the one who sent his one and only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die and pay the penalty for sin that we chose, and that rebelliousness to God put us in a state of sin. And God loved us so much, he said, you know what? I'm still coming after them. I'm going to offer them my son. He'll die in their place. He'll pay the price that you and I couldn't afford. And he did that, and God raised him again from the grave. And that is so valuable to you. Do you know that God? Then I'll ask you another question about knowing God. Do you know God, that he loves you so much he wants you to trust Christ, his son, as your savior? Do you know God wants you in heaven? The Bible says, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know that God? Do you know that God? I don't know what kind of God you may have heard or preached at or whatever, but that's the God of the Bible. His mission is to reach the nations of the world with the gospel of Christ. Do you know that God? How about you, Christian? Maybe you know the God that way. Have you stopped in your growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why does Paul say that? This is quite connected throughout Scripture. Why does he say, grow in the grace and knowledge of God? So that through by knowing God more, you can glorify him more, and by glorifying more, that is valuing him, valuing who he is, and valuing his thoughts, his mission, his word, his calling, you will reflect this glory to the nations, and they will praise God. Do you know God that well, Christian? If you do, are you living that out? What kind of noise are you making in your life? It's challenging, but the Holy Spirit can help you with that. So we best glorify God when we know him. We best glorify God when we value him and his words, his mission. And we best glorify God when we make some noise for him by the way we think, speak, and act towards each other. The Bible says, let the peoples praise you, O Lord. I offer to you this morning that charge, that this Thanksgiving on through the rest of the year, that you would have genuine praise to God, and that it would be lived out, and that your life would make so much noise that it will make people thirsty for God. Would you bow with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This Thanksgiving, and sometimes Thanksgivings and holidays in general can be very hard for a lot of different reasons. And we certainly want to be sensitive to that. Put our arms around people who are struggling or suffering with loss and all those things. God loves you and we love you and we want to encourage you during these days. But may I say to my brothers and sisters who have faced such things that we can still praise the Lord. I haven't seen my father now for 10 years. Miss him greatly. So many times I want to pick up the phone, call him, talk to him. But you know what? I can praise the Lord because he is in the presence of Christ. And I'm going to see him soon. And this morning, what are you thankful for? The psalmist calls us first and foremost, above all else, to be thankful for God. And I would charge all of you, whatever age you are, to think about what ways am I thankful to God and how can I best reflect that value in my life. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of being able to be part of the family of God. We saw last week how you have blessed this nation with a strong and firm foundation of men and women who loved you. Not everybody was a Christian, of course, but many of them honored God and loved you, and many of them were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how through that we have been blessed beyond belief. Israel is in the same situation. But let us, Lord, take knowledge and take note that just because they did doesn't mean we will if we don't honor you, if we don't value you, if this nation of our people here in this country don't follow after you and regard you as who you truly are. And forgive us, Lord, as a nation. Forgive us when we turn our back on you and go the other way, thinking that we can replace you, that we don't need you. We take the penny. We take the dollar bill when you have something so much more valuable. Forgiveness of sin and a relationship with God for all eternity. Help us as a nation in America to turn and to walk in your ways and to value the things that you do. And for my brothers and sisters in here, as we do that, may we then live our life showing value to the things that are important to you. People, your church, and this world. For the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen.